Thanks for listening to the Wellspring Church Podcast.
Well, Wellspring, if you follow us on social media at all, which if you don't, you should make sure you're doing that, you're like, wait a minute, why is the pastor's wife getting up there? First, where's he? And second, we already know what we were expecting to get when we came today if you follow us on social media. So, I just came up here, honestly, to introduce our speaker today. We are so excited to have from Elevation Church a pastor from one of their campuses coming to speak today. As we continue this series we're in called Summer Breakthrough, and I want you guys to know that our staff has been praying for you. Whenever God gave us this series of a summer breakthrough, we just knew he was going to move in amazing ways and continue to just change hearts and change lives here. And I know that today was part of that plan, 100%. I can't wait to welcome to the stage. I want to make sure that we're giving him some proper Wellspring love whenever he comes out. So why don't you guys help me welcome Taylor Scheidel to the stage this morning.
As Danielle said, my name is Taylor Scheidel, and it is so good to be with you guys this morning. They told me that the 9 o'clock crowd was rowdy, and I feel it, because you guys were excited, and I love the energy in here. I looked over to my wife, Nikki, and I was like, man, their 9 o'clock crowd's better than our 9 o'clock crowd, so I'm already more excited than I am back home. So I appreciate you guys being with us today, and I got to just say that this is my second home. A lot of you know my family. Tom and Beverly Scheidel are my mom and dad. They volunteer here. They've been serving for 2 years. My dad's probably parked your car before. My mom's probably taking care of your kids in the children's ministry. That's Tom and Beverly Scheidel there wearing Love Week shirts. Love Week is coming up July 18th. It's the first time that Wellspring is going to do a Love Week. So make sure you get signed up for that. Be a difference in your life. And to see what's happened in their marriage since they started serving, only God. It's amazing. So serving is a great thing. And they were invited by my sister and brother-in-law, Brooke and Brett French. They are what we call OGs. Does anybody know what an OG is? Original gangsters. They've been at Wellspring for 6 years. They've been serving for 5 years in the children's ministry. They started when this place was in Broadway movie theater. Did you know that Wellspring started in a movie theater? They're OGs. And their whole family, Brooke, Brett, Zoe, and Kingston, my niece and nephew, have been baptized at Wellspring Church. I am thankful for that. You guys have welcomed my family, and I so appreciate it, because Wellspring is a church where God is present, God is moving, and you're making a difference in this community. And I truly am thankful for how you guys have welcomed my family. And I also want to say that I was here about a month ago. And as you probably know, I am not Pastor Trey. I'm a lot shorter. And you're going to find out that I'm not near as funny as that guy. I listened to him a month ago, and I was sitting over there, and I just laughed. And I told Nikki, I was like, man, I'm not near as funny as him. So if you want to laugh at me today, my feelings won't get hurt. That's cool with me. But that guy is so real. He's so vulnerable. And I know that's how you connect with him, because it's the same way that I connect with him. And Pastor Trey, I want to say thank you for this opportunity. I do not take it lightly. It is a great honor and privilege to be on your stage and talking to your people. So thank you for that. And a little bit about my family, because, you know, we got to get to know each other, because you're like, I don't know you. You're not Pastor Trey. So this is my family. That's my beautiful wife, Nikki. She's sitting here on the front row. Listen to this message for like the 30th time. So if I can get her to smile, then I'm doing all right. That's my oldest son, Duke, and my younger son, Era. And I love them to death. And I remember that when she was pregnant with both of those kids, 9 months of beautiful mood swings, crazy cravings, that third pillow in bed that made me feel like I had another person in bed. All you moms know what I'm talking about. And I remember those 9 months were tough, but nothing was tough as the last few hours. So Nikki, you know, went through the 9 months, the pain, but when she came down to delivering Duke, the labor and the pushing, I was like, oh my God, like, I want to take this away from you, like, because she's doing all the work. And thank God that women deliver babies, because us men couldn't do it. We know that. God knew what he's doing. But I wanted to take that pain away from her. I wanted to be like, just take it away. But I also knew that Duke, a miracle, was on the other side. I knew that when I got to hold that little miracle in my hand and say, man, it was all worth it, especially since you pushed. But in life, isn't it like that? That when we're going through pain, we want to know a miracle's on the other side, right? But life isn't always that easy because we don't know that a miracle's promised. And that's what breakthrough is all about. That is a sudden, drastic, and important development. And that's what I'm going to be speaking about today. So for those of you who take notes, the title of my message today is Break Me for Breakthrough. And for those of you who have never taken notes and you're going to start taking notes, today the title of my message is Break Me for Breakthrough. So I remember it plain as day. It was a Sunday morning. I woke up and I was in my clothes from the night before. And I was like, oh my God, this isn't a bad dream. I started having flashbacks. I'm like, what did I do? My wife just caught me doing cocaine last night. Oh my God, two nights ago I just spent the night in jail. Man, I'm almost 30. You're supposed to have kids by now, Taylor. You're supposed to have your life together. You're supposed to be settled down with a good job. And your wife just caught you doing drugs. She's going to want to divorce you. You spent the night in jail and woke up in jail. What are you thinking? Now, I know that a lot of you haven't woken up in jail. I know that you haven't been at rock bottom like I was. But all of us at some point have been at our worst. Wouldn't you agree? So your worst might look different than mine. Maybe you went through a divorce. Maybe you flunked a class for you students. Maybe you had a mom that never encouraged you. Maybe you had a dad that never believed in you. Maybe you went through a time with your spouse where you guys have been together for years and she got diagnosed with cancer. We've all been at our worst at some point. And one of my favorite scriptures and a life verse that I have for me is Genesis 50:20. It says, you intended to harm me, but God intended it for good to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. So another version of that, another translation is the Taylor Shido translation. Satan, you intended to break me, but God intended it for my breakthrough. Satan, you intended to break me, but God intended it for my breakthrough. Now, obviously, Sunday mornings are a little bit different now. I'm certain in a church, on a stage, I'm not waking up realizing, man, my wife just caught me doing drugs. But you know that you don't wake up in that spot. It just doesn't happen where you wake up in jail. There's something that happened before. Well, I grew up and my parents had me in church. They did a great job with me. I had good roots. Gave my life to Christ in middle school. Got into high school and I started noticing girls and I wanted to be cool and fit in. And then when I got to college, I was like, man, if I want to talk to a drunk girl, it's easier to talk to a drunk girl when you're drunk. And also, in college, I started experimenting with drugs. I was like, man, you know, like, the happier that I thought I was, the better I felt. And you may think, like, man, this guy had some good roots, and all of a sudden he's drinking and doing drugs in college. Well, I was free, but also, I want to show of hands. I'm not going to call you out. But how many of you know that comparison is a contentment killer? You know it, because you look at the person beside of you, the guy in the weight room, and you're like, man, he's bigger than me. I looked at the person on an intramural flag football. If they beat me, I was a failure. Man, they're better than me. Everybody in here wants success in some way. Whether you're a parent, you want to be a good dad. Whether you're a mom at your job, you want to be successful at work. Everybody in here wants success in some way. And I felt like a failure. Because if I didn't win, I felt like a failure. Well, I graduated college. Decided to move to Myrtle Beach because I was like, I'm going to go down there and have fun. I'm going to live it up, and moved to Myrtle Beach. Got a job bartending at Senior Frogs at Broadway the Beach. I know you guys have heard of it. You've probably been there before. And be honest with you, Senior Frogs is a great place. It was a great establishment. I made a buku of money bartending. But for me, it was a bad season. I basically lived 5 years in a drunken, drug-filled stupor. I mean, just, it was a bad season. I made a lot of bad decisions. I mean, during that time, I totaled my dad's car. I ran into a creek embankment, drinking and driving. And luckily, I went down a creek embankment, so I didn't go through the windshield. During that time, I got arrested multiple times for fighting. I ran from the cops I don't know how many times. I had a best friend jump into a pool, got paralyzed, and died a few days later. I mean, it was just a bad season in my life. Until May of 2010. Because I'm bartending on a Sunday, and I never bartend on Sundays. This girl walks in, and she's the hottest thing I've ever seen. And I'm just up here to be real. When you bartend, you see a lot of girls. But she was the hottest girl I've ever seen. So she comes up, and she's like, hey, do you guys serve food here? And I was like, yeah, we do. She's like, all right, I want a table. And I was like, no, we serve food at the bar because I want to talk to you. And she's like, no, I really want a table. And I was like, sit down. Just like that. Well, I'm going to tell you, I was immediately in love with this girl. 2 weeks after I met her, I told her that I loved her and I was going to marry her. Now, my approach may have not been the best, but she's sitting here on the front row. Thank you, Jesus. So we're in love, and I'm like, man, I'm going to move to Charlotte because that's where she lives at. We're doing long-distance relationship for three months, and I decided to move to Charlotte because I'm bartending. That's not a serious job. She's got a good job and making money. So I moved to Charlotte. Immediately when we get there, because this is my angel, guys, this is my angel had come, that Nikki is going to be the answer to all my problems, we find a church, Elevation Church, and we get involved in church, and when I say involved, attending, because that was involved for us. We weren't actually involved, but we were attending church, which was good for us. And then in 2011, we got baptized at Elevation Church. A month later, I proposed to her. She said yes. Things are going great. And 2012, April 29, 2012, we met at the altar, and I got to marry the woman of my dreams. And when I say the woman of my dreams, because this was a dream come true for me, because I was like, there's no way that God is going to allow me to get married with my past, with the things that I've done. There's no way. I'm going to be punished for all the things I've done. But that's not how God works. And I got to marry the love of my life on April 29, 2012. And on top of that, I got an IT job, which is what I went to school for in college when I was messing my life up. But I got a degree, so I got the job. And it was like, man, like, things are coming together. I am living the dream. But it's not always what it seems. So now I have a new wife, which for you men, you know that's not easy. I love you, babe. I'm working 40 to 50 hours a week doing an IT job. I'm bartending on the weekends to try to keep up with the money that I was making before. And all the while, what I forgot to tell you guys and what I forgot to tell her is while I'm bartending, while I'm doing all that, my tolerance for drinking and drugs has went up. So has my ability to conceal it. So I'm living a double life. And she has no idea. So 2 months later, this all came to a screeching halt. Because you know, when you're living that secret and superficial life, sooner or later it's going to come to a head. Well, I was traveling to Myrtle Beach because, man, when you got all those things on your plate, you're stressed to the max. And I just couldn't do it. I was like, all right, I don't want to face my fears. I'm going to run to Myrtle Beach and party away my fears. So Nikki's coming down on a Saturday. I'm going down on a Friday. And that Friday night, went out in Myrtle Beach with one of my friends. We lived it up, and I went to jail. Spent the night in jail, got arrested for public intoxication. I wake up and, call my friend when I get out of jail the next morning. He's gone, side story. He had family in town. He thought that he couldn't get a hold of me, so he thought I left. But then I'm walking down the street, and what does a boy do when they need help? Call their mama. So I call my mom. She picks me up, and to this day, it's weird. She was like, are you okay? And I was like, yeah. She's like, I love you. You know, this is God doing something in your life. And I was like, what? Like, I was waiting for you to ream me. Like, boy, you better get it together. So in that moment, I started crying. And what I didn't realize is it was God working in my life. And I broke down, and then I got, was like, oh, blah, blah, blah. I'm not going to do it here. And as soon as we got back to my car, when I got back to being able to get in my car, I said, nah, I'm a man. I'm tough. I got pride. No. So I immediately went to beach bars and started drinking again. I texted one of my friends. I had him meet me out. We kept drinking at beach bars. We went out that night. I then proceeded to steal my friend's car to go get cocaine. And then somehow my wife and him were texting, and I ended up at the same bar as them because she was traveling down that day because we had drove separate to the beach. And at the bar where I met her, she caught me in the act of doing cocaine. She had no idea that I was doing drugs. And then my friend comes up to me at that bar, and he wants to fight me, which I'd want to fight me too if he stole my car. And he was like, you're not the same person you used to be. You're a druggie. And God is my witness. I remember it plain as day. My wife says, you're not going to talk to my husband like that. I'm like, what? you're not going to talk to my husband like that? Like, you just caught me doing cocaine, and you're taking up for me? And even though I was not in the right state of mind, I remember it. I remember it clear as day. So the next morning, you know, I go to sleep. Next morning is what I explained to you earlier. I was in my clothes. I was almost 30 years old. My life was a wreck. I was a failure. I'd hit rock bottom. I never thought that I'd be in this place in my life, in this moment, when I'm about to be 30 years old. And my wife's about to divorce me. So I've got to go back to Charlotte. I've got to work the Monday. That's a Sunday. And so what does a boy do when they're alone and they're scared? They call their mama. So that woman, I want you to hear me very clearly. That woman spoke to me for 3.5 hours from Myrtle Beach to Charlotte, saying, I love you. God loves you. You have a calling on your life. This woman just found out I went to jail, and she told me I had a calling on my life. What? That doesn't make sense. And she says, I love you, and God's going to turn this around for your good. And I was like, so honestly, side note, the little woman's prophetic, because here I stand. I didn't know it at the time. But all I was thinking is she was encouraging me, you know, that's my boy, I'm going to love him and encourage him. But I didn't know that she was really speaking life to me in that moment. I didn't know that things were going to change. I didn't know that, you know, that was the worst weekend of my life, that God was actually going to turn around for good. I didn't know that what Satan was intending to break me, God was intending for my breakthrough. And, man, so she talked to me, and then I got home, and, you know, just the time that my mom did that and Nikki took up for me, I'd heard about this word grace. Has anybody heard of that word before? You can hear about that word all day, but once you experience it, game changer. Game changer, because grace goes one-way love. I'm sending one-way love to all you guys. But it doesn't expect anything in return. That's how grace works. Grace gives, it doesn't receive. Grace gives. And they showed me grace in that moment. They helped me experience grace, which was helping me change my life. So that Monday morning, I got to get up. I got to go to work because, you know, when things are going crappy, you still got to go to work. So I get up that Monday morning, and I get down to pray. And when I say I get down to pray, I got on my face. Because sometimes in life when things are going bad, you don't get on your knees, you get on your face. And I said, Lord, I have tried to quit drinking. I've tried to quit doing the drugs. Lord, I was pissed off, guys. I said, take my life and do with it what you want. Just take it. I don't care. Like, I'm over this. I keep failing because all I thought of myself was a failure. I said, take it and do with it what you want, Lord. Just take it. So in that moment, I didn't feel anything. I didn't hear an audible voice of God say, Taylor Shido, you know, you're healed, you're well. But I'm here to tell you, standing on this stage as God is my witness, that I have not touched a drink or a drug since that day. I didn't go to any AA classes. I didn't go to any rehab. I didn't do any counseling sessions. It was straight up deliverance. And I know what happened in that moment is when I got down and I said, Lord, take my life and do with it what you want. Instead of asking God for something, I gave him something. Now, I'm not saying don't ask things for God because you need to. But when you give him something to work with, he can make a difference, not only in your life, but through your life for other people as well. So after I prayed, got to go to work. And I'm like, man, instead of listening to club music on the way to work, I've got to listen to something inspirational. I got to listen to something positive. I need some good things in this head because there's a lot of bad things. So I download the Elevation app. Looking through, like, there's 100 sermons, and there's a name, Jensen Franklin. And I was like, oh, my mom's talked about that before. I'm going to listen to Jensen Franklin. So this guy gets up, never heard of him before. He said, man, I had a message that I wanted to share, but God told me to share a different message. It's from my notes in my old Bible, and I'm going to share it, and I know it's for someone. He says, you can't outrun the hand of God when God loves you. It doesn't matter if you've done crack cocaine. Whoa. Don't hear a preacher say that very often. And he said, you had a mom in a prayer closet praying for you. You had a granny stacking up prayers for you. And what I didn't know is on that Friday night when I went out to live it up, my mom got in her prayer closet. Whoa. She got in her prayer closet and she said, Lord, you take that boy and you do with him what you want because I've tried to do it my way and it doesn't work. And she trusted in God. And I guarantee you, she didn't think the answer to her prayers was me getting arrested, stealing a car, and getting caught by my wife doing drugs. But when we pray to God, when we trust him, we ask him for something and we give him something, he gives us what we need versus what we want. And that was exactly what I needed in that moment. I told my mom, I was like, I'm not going to look at you this whole message because I will break down crying. So anyways, I listened to that Elevation app and it was just crazy because it was like, man, God loves me. He really does love me. Like those little things, when you're hanging on by a thread for your life, anything like that, God loves you. When he just does those points, man, we had a grandma that prayed for us continuously. God loves me. Well, the next Sunday, my butt was in church because I knew that's where I needed to be. And Pastor Stephen, he's the lead pastor of Elevation Church, he gets up there and he's like, we're going to open a new location, a new elevation. We're going to open up Elevation Gaston. Well, guess what county Taylor and Nikki Shuttle live in? Gaston County. I was like, cool, God, you love me. You're going to open a church in my backyard. And then he said something I remember forever. He said, we need your help. So, you know how you do like math in your head? I'm like, I need help. They need help. Maybe if I help them, then it'll help me. So I signed Nikki up to start volunteering. And I'm like, sure, hey, you're a week sober, you're a week out of jail, but you should launch a church campus. Great idea, guy. But I am so thankful that God doesn't call the qualified, he qualifies the called. And for those of you who started taking notes today, that's a good time. That's a good one to write down. Because what happens in the moment is Satan will tell you all the reasons you shouldn't do it, but you respond immediately to what God's doing in your life because you don't want to ever miss a chance of what he wants to do through you. So we're doing this volunteering thing. You know, it's going awesome. About a year later, I'm in a small group, which is what you guys call community groups. And I'm sharing my testimony with people like I'm doing with you guys today. And I'm like, man, I am made for this. This is my niche. Because before when I felt success with drinking and drugs, it truly wasn't success at all. For the first time in my life, I was like, man, this is what I was made to do. This is my niche. This is what I was called to do. And I felt that success. And then I was like, well, maybe I'm called to ministry. And then I was like, Satan started saying, bro, you were an alcoholic for 11 years. You did drugs for 8 years. You've been arrested so many times. God can't use you. You're not meant for ministry. No, not at all. Well, it was so funny because when I'd speak to people like you guys, I could connect so well. And the reason I could connect was because of my past, the experiences I've been through. And the reason that I could connect so well is God works your worst. Everybody write that down. I see a lot of smiles, but not a lot of writing. So the reason that I'm telling you to write these things down is because when you get in the moment, it sounds good, but then you're going to, you know, go to the beach today and you're going to be, eventually cheering for your Coastal Carolina Chanticleers and you're going to forget all about this thing that I said today. So that's why we tell you to write notes. So I was, lost my thought. I got so excited about the game because Justin and I were talking, and man, they were like, almost like they were letting them back in. And you know how everybody was saying that they didn't have a chance? Like, they were like, they got to play 3 games. They don't have a chance. And I was like, whatever, they do have a chance. Look at them now. They're going to the World Series. So I'm feeling called to ministry, and, you know, the thing that has happened is that, you know, God works your worst. God works your worst. God works your worst. So what does that mean to you? I'm going to need a little crowd participation. We're going to read a verse, Romans 8:28. I've heard your pastor, Trey, speak on it before, and it's one of my favorite verses, one of my life verses. It's going to be on the screens behind me, and we're going to read it all aloud together, okay? Just like how when you were cheering for the Chanticleers last night, I want you to read this with enthusiasm. And we know that God works all things for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. Yes. The thing that I love in there, I'm not going to get just pretty with it. He works all things for the good. He doesn't work just your good deeds for the good. He works all things for the good. He doesn't just work, you know, when you're, you know, with your friends and doing good things. He works all things for the good. He works your bad for the good. He works your argument with your wife for the good. He works all things for the good. And so, you know, when I'm saying about God works your worst, maybe your worst looks a little bit different than mine. Maybe it's just, you know, my past was pretty crazy. Yours is different. So what if your worst is anger, resentment? Well, do you know that anger is really just passion loaded the wrong way? So I'm a bow hunter. I like to hunt. And if you think about, if I take a bow and I load an arrow in the wrong way and I try to shoot it, I can hurt myself. For any of you that hunt or know about bows, I can hurt myself. That's how passion is too. If you load passion the wrong way, it can hurt you because it can become anger. But guess what happens when you load that arrow the right way? You load that arrow, it shoots downfield, and it hits that target with impact. And I'm here to tell someone today in this crowd that when you turn anger around for passion and you load it the right way, man, you can load that thing and shoot it and make an impact on this community, an impact on Myrtle Beach, an impact on the Grand Strand, because I'm here to tell you that we need some passionate Christians, because we got drug dealers in Myrtle Beach that'll push their drugs on you. We got people going out to clubs that will push that on you like you need to go out and do bad influences. I used to be that guy. We need some people that love Jesus to go out and tell people that they love, they are loved by Jesus, that Jesus cares for them. It doesn't matter how bad they screwed up. It doesn't matter how bad they've messed out, that Jesus loves them to death. And that they can be forgiven. It doesn't matter what you've done. So maybe your worst is hidden sin. Maybe, you know, you struggle with pornography. Maybe you have written some inappropriate messages to a male. You know, maybe that, you know, that you've struggled with unforgiveness. Maybe you've abused pills before. Maybe it's a hidden sin that doesn't anyone know about. But I'm here to tell you that you're not loved less by God. You're really blocking your own blessing. Think about that. Because when we mess up, we automatically feel like we're loved less by God. But we're really just blocking our own blessing. And with that, you know, not only are you blocking a blessing from God, but you're blocking a blessing from your family and friends, because they would love to help you out. They would love to support you, come alongside of you, if you would just confess what you're struggling with. And not only that, I'm going to take it one step further. There's someone sitting in your row right now that is struggling with the exact same thing you are. The exact same thing. And if they saw your courage to step out and say, man, I don't have it all together. I wear my collar in the Wellspring every Sunday. I volunteer. I'm in a community group. I've got it all together. But God really knows what you're doing. If they saw you step out, they'd have the courage to step out too. Because they would see how people would surround you and love you and how God would bless it if you would step out. So don't think about not only you blocking your own blessing, but you're blocking someone else's blessing. And maybe your worst is your past. It's different for all of us. You know, your past is different than mine. Mine's different than yours. But God will use your past failures to be the foundation of your future purpose. Think about that. So, you know, when they build a house, they pack the dirt. Like, they pack it real tight, right? To make sure they can build a house on there. Well, all those times that I was running from sin and shame when I was, you know, struggling with things, I was just pushing it down because I didn't want to face it. And all those failures, when I was pushing down, God was really building a foundation in me so that he could use me like he's using me today. And the things in your life that you're packing down, the failures you have, are actually a foundation for your future purpose. I mean, I wouldn't be standing up here today if it wasn't for that. And thank you, Jesus. So I wasn't losing my mind, feeling called to ministry. In 2013, I quit my IT job. I went into the thing called 2K2 Elevation. It's basically like a crazy 6 months where they get you prepared for ministry. And I could tell you a whole lot about it, but basically God broke my confidence in myself, built up my confidence in Christ, my identity in Christ. I know that a lot of you struggle with that. And at the end of the 6 months, if God's calling you to be a part of the church and the lead staff feels like it, then you'll be hired on. And I got hired as our e-groups director in January 2014 at Elevation Church. That's like your community groups here. And then in July 2015, I got ordained to be a pastor, which is last year. And that doesn't mean you clap. I'm just saying there is no way in heck that I should be a pastor. None. But thank God that he loves me enough and he doesn't care about my past. He doesn't care about your past. He doesn't care about what you've done wrong, because our God is a God of forgiveness. Jesus died on a cross for our sins so that all can be forgiven. He went through pain and hell so that we wouldn't have to. So I'm just thankful for that. So I'm not getting you to clap on that. That's just a me and God time right now. Shout out. So my one final closing thought, it comes out of a verse, Psalm 6:9. It says, God has heard my cry for mercy. God has heard my prayer. And I want you to know, my one final closing thought for you ADD people like me is that God hears your tears. Let that one sink in for a little bit. God hears your tears. Man, I've seen God move in such powerful ways. Man, I prayed, and my wife and I prayed for her to have a baby. The doctors told her they never would. We fasted. We have a family. Her sister was told that she would never have a baby. We fasted. During the fast, while we were praying, we got a phone call that her sister was pregnant. Not only that, that baby is 2 weeks old today. 2 weeks old today. Nikki's dad got prostate cancer. They removed his prostate. They said there were still traces of the cancer in there. We prayed for him, and after the prayer, we got the test results back that he is zero cancer free. I got down on that kitchen floor and I said, Lord, I keep screwing up. I keep messing up. Use me. I don't care. Just take my life and do with it what you want, because I keep screwing up. I've seen God move in incredible ways, because God does hear your tears. I don't know what your sin that you're struggling with. I don't know what keeps you up at night that you're praying about. I know that there's probably a mom in here, or excuse me, a woman that wants to be a mom that struggle with infertility, and you believe like it's a promise from God, but you haven't seen it yet. God hears your tears. He knows what you're crying about at night, because our God is a God in the details, and he loves us so much. You want to know how that God is a God of details? Nobody? Does anybody want to know? All right, so I was given a few different options to preach, to come and share with you guys, and really next Sunday is my birthday, and I wanted to come preach on my birthday and be at the beach at 4th of July. I know a lot of you locals don't love the 4th of July, but we love to come back down here because we're tourists now. And I really wanted to preach next weekend, but it didn't work out, and you're like, okay, awesome, you were talking about infertility, and now you're talking about you want to preach on your weekend. Not cool, guy. So... but God is in the details, because he only allowed me to come this weekend. No other weekend would work. No other weekend. And I just want you to know that God does care about your tears. He does hear your tears. Because 4 years ago to this very weekend, Taylor Scheidel was running to the beach, running to escape everything that he went through, running to escape pain, running to escape shame. I didn't want to face any of my fears. The last thing I wanted to do was face anything. I was coming to Myrtle Beach to raise hell, but what I didn't intend to find was heaven. And I'm here to tell someone today, someone in this room, I don't know what you came in with to Wellspring, what hidden sin, you know, abuse. I had to talk to a paramedic that says someone ODs on heroin every day in Myrtle Beach. I don't know what you came in here struggling with. I don't know what sin you have. I don't know what you've been crying about. But I'm here to tell you that God brought me here 4 years ago on the very weekend that I had my breakthrough, so that you could have your breakthrough too. He loves you. You're called according to a purpose. Satan intended to break you, but I'm here to tell you that God intends it for your breakthrough. You cannot live without Jesus. He's everything you need. He's the only reason that I'm standing here on this stage today. He's the only reason that I have a family, because Jesus loves us so much. And you need to accept that love for him. I want you to know the ultimate example of God working your worst and God hearing your tears was his own son, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ cried to the point of death because he knew that he was going to take mine and your sin. He cried to the point of death before he's about to go to cross. His worst weekend of his life, he died on a cross. He got beaten and flogged worse than any man ever in the history of earth. so that we could have eternal life. And 3 days later, he was risen from a grave so that we could be forgiven, so that we could live on, so that someone like myself could be up on this stage preaching to you guys and sharing what God's done in my life. God sent his son as the ultimate example of hearing his tears and working your worst. And I know there's someone in this room today that you need that breakthrough. You need to experience it in your own life. And we're going to give you an opportunity to do that today. We're going to give you an opportunity to begin a relationship with Jesus Christ. And the good thing about beginning a relationship with Jesus Christ is you don't have to do anything. It's just a gift of grace that is free. Remember I talked about grace? It's one-way love. All you have to do is accept it. In Romans 10:9, it says that if we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe that he was raised from the dead, we will be saved. So I want everyone here to bow your heads and close your eyes. We're going to give you an opportunity to respond. Like I spoke about earlier, respond immediately to what God's doing in your life. And we're going to say a prayer together. And everyone in this room is going to say the prayer together for the benefit of those saying it for the very first time. For the person that's saying, Lord, I'm here to give you my life. Do with it what you want. I need a brand new start. I need to be forgiven of my sins. This is a brand new day. I want you to all repeat after me. Jesus, I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. Thank you, Jesus, for dying for my sins. I believe God raised you from the dead so that I can have eternal life. I'm turning from my old life and beginning brand new today. With all heads bowed and eyes still closed, I want to give you an opportunity to respond and say, you know what? That is me. Jesus loves me too much. No matter how bad I've screwed up, I want to begin brand new today. I want to begin that relationship with Jesus Christ. I want you to shoot your hands in the air on the count of three. One, two, three. Keep those hands up. Keep those hands up. We got Bibles coming. Keep those hands up. We got Bibles coming to you right now in this moment. Yes. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Keep those hands up and just keep those heads bowed. I know for some of you in this room, you've already begun a relationship with Jesus Christ and you want that breakthrough. You feel like, man, I've been doing everything right. I feel like, man, I can't do any more right. Well, Moses was broken for his breakthrough. Jesus was broken for his breakthrough. And maybe God right now, in the best way, is breaking you for your breakthrough. So what I want to do is I want to give you an opportunity. If you want that breakthrough and you've already begun a relationship with Christ, I just want you to slip your hand in the air and I just want to pray over you in this moment and pray that you're going to see breakthrough in your own life and just believe with you and agree with you that God's got something special for you. And I'm going to pray for you right now in this moment. Jesus, I thank you so much for what you're doing in this place. I thank you for what you've done in the hearts of these people. They're responding to what you're doing in their life. They want to be used by you, Lord. They care about you. They have came this far for their own breakthrough. Lord Jesus, you have something special for them. You want to do amazing things in their life. They're experiencing grace and the love of Jesus right now so powerful that they don't even know how to contain it. And I know that one encounter with you will change everything. Everything in a person's life. So Lord Jesus, I just want you to know right now in this moment, the people that I'm praying for, believe it right now that you're about to experience a breakthrough in Jesus' name like you've never experienced before in your life.
Thanks again for listening to the Wellspring Church podcast. For more information, sermon downloads, and more, visit wellspringchurch.tv.